Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Fred Flight, substituting for your usual host, Frank Gaffney. Our next host is syndicated columnist Diana West. She blogs at dianawest.com. She is an expert on so many crucial national security issues, especially the Soviet Union and Russia. Diana, welcome.
Oh, wonderful to be with you, Fred.
Diana, you posted a fascinating article on your blog site recently titled, "Does a Red Thread Run Through the Anti-Trump Coup?" And in this article, you said that evidence already indicates that a subversive effort was mounted from inside the U.S. government by the deep state under Barack Obama and from outside the U.S. government, from entities including the Hillary Clinton campaign, the Democratic National Committee, and their law firm, Perkins Coe. Now, I'd like you to talk about that in light of some of the new developments we're hearing about the congressional investigations of this so-called Russian collusion with the Trump campaign.
Yes, well, it's a very big topic. And I think that for me, trying to think it through and trying to make sense of it, I started coming back to this same question. How come this is not politics as usual? How come we didn't see a change in party power in Washington as we see every 4 or 8 years when the presidential election comes around? We don't see these kinds of machinations. We don't see this kind of effort to undermine and sabotage. We see people go to K Street. We see people write a book. We see people wait for the next election in terms of the Democratic Republican Party seesaw of power, if you will. Everything we've learned about this particular election, this campaign, the transition, and indeed the first year in office for the Trump presidency has been so outside our normal experience that I began looking at it in terms of trying to understand it as an attempted coup, as many others have been doing lately, and trying to find out also if this is not regular Democratic, Republican, American politics as usual. Is there an ideological element here that we have grown long used to ignoring, namely communism, socialism, revolutionaryism, that is driving this, that is making this such an extraordinary set of conditions? And so far, these are the kinds of clues I've been looking for and have been picking up and have been trying to restore to some sort of context so we can understand them in this particular series I'm writing, Does a Red Thread Run Through the Anti-Trump Coup? So that's kind of the basis for my exploration. It's a thought experiment.
Well, in part two of this series, you try to focus on Fusion GPS's academic expert on Russia, Nellie Orr, who you referred as a mystery woman who conveniently is married to Justice Department official Bruce Orr. Tell us the story here.
Yes, well, it's a very fascinating one for essentially, initially, the absence of information about Nellie Orr. She comes to our attention a couple of weeks before Christmas via Fox News, a story that breaks that she, by James Rosen, that she is the academic expert on Russia for Fusion, that her husband is the senior level, or formerly senior level, recently demoted, the Department of Justice official Bruce Orr, and then that little web starts to unravel before us in terms of the connections between Bruce Orr and Glenn Simpson, the purveyor of Fusion GPS, Nellie Orr's employer, and meetings with Christopher Steele, the British former MI6 agent said to have authored the dossier that Fusion prepared on behalf of the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign, which is a lot of information that we have only come by through subpoenas, through targeted leaks such as this one on Nellie Orr. In other words, the principals have been incredibly unforthcoming, and we see this now as Glenn Simpson's testimonies have been released from the Senate earlier and then just this week from the House Intelligence Committee. What's notable about Glenn Simpson, when he is asked to sort of explain his stable of Russia experts and so on who work for him, or his how he was discussing the dossier with the government and things like that, he does not mention Nellie Orr's name. And yet once she was revealed, he admits, yes, she was Fusion's academic expert. So I decided to take a look at what was publicly available about Nellie Orr to try to get a sense of her own grounding and her own perspective or outlook, if there is an ideological aspect to it. And this is what I wrote about in this recent essay, because there's quite a lot there that is not immediately understandable. One, because we've been trained to stop thinking about communism and the Soviet Union and counterintelligence and subversion. And two, because so much of this is done in the dry academic language of PhDs. So what I'm looking at here are some of her writings, looking at some of her mentors in the academic world and finding they come from the hard left, from a school of academic thought known in the 70s and 80s as the revisionists. Essentially, they are very, very pro-Soviet, very apologetic of even Stalin's crimes, things like that. And so you start to see an ideological driver in the career of someone who is considered Fusion's academic expert. She is fluent in Russian. We also found out through an amazing leak that she took out a ham radio operator's license around the time she went to work for Fusion shortly after. These are sort of tip-offs that make her a very interesting figure in terms of trying to understand how this, what increasingly looks like a conspiracy inside the government, was operating. Was she a point woman, some have suggested? Was she a connection between the Justice Department and Fusion? And, you know, there are a lot of pieces here to kind of put out on the table. And it's very important that this work is done. And so basically, I'm just sort of trying to advance the ball down a few yards in terms of just looking at where she's coming from. And just to kind of encapsulate it, this, for me, it's a long piece, but my favorite bit is a book review that Nellie Orr wrote as a Vassar professor of Russian history in the mid-1990s, where she is discussing, quote, the terror and excitement of the Stalin era. Now, most Americans would not look at the Stalin era of purges and starvation and all manner of crimes against innocent people to implement these Bolshevization of the country in the 1930s as a period of excitement. So this I think, it becomes a very telling window into her outlook. And so this is kind of the sort of puzzle assembling that needs to be done and needs to be thought about and needs to be questioned and asked about. So it's just, you know, more fodder.
Well, Diana, I want to fit in one quick question. Can you comment on this classified memo that the House Intelligence Committee has put together that apparently says that the GPS memo was used to justify FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign?
Yes, well, it's a very exciting moment because it's supposed to be a four-page document that is called, we know, FISA abuse. So that is the idea that behind it, we will find out how this dossier may have been used. The language that the congressmen who are pushing for its release, Matt Gaetz, Congressman Zeldin, and others, is so alarmed, not alarmist, but alarmed, so serious, so grave, that I am quite struck by this as a very important moment and something that is not just a matter of ebb and flow of Washington power politics. Matt Gaetz has made it very clear that he thinks that this actually hint on this memo, on the American people understanding what is in this memo, hinges the welfare of the Republic. So this is a very serious document. All of the Congress may now read it. And so the idea that the American people cannot see it becomes quite ridiculous. It becomes a matter of politics. The Democrats are trying to block it. But we need the leadership of the Republican Party, which of course does run the Congress, to push for this as well, to open this up to the American people so we can find out what's going on and make our own decisions and understand what really has been discovered and what needs to be done in the future to address this.
Well, Diana, I'm afraid we're running out of time, but thank you so much for your analysis today. We're going to have to catch up with you again to go through this again. This is Diana West, our guest. Our next guest will be your usual host, Frank Gaffney, who will have some observations about the Center for Security Policy on its 30th anniversary. Stay tuned.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.